How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Hart, and I also have a trading problem.
It's on Mosia, and I also have a trading problem.
All right, so before we get started with anything, Brian and I have some news. We're popular, you guys. And not only are we popular with the six or eight listeners we have, maybe Eitan brings one or two, so we'll call it a nice clean 10. We are joining the DLF family of podcasts, mostly because Brian begged and pleaded for them to let us join. And it worked. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. So, no shame in that. Well, I have no idea if that's up and running just yet, but check it out. See if you could find us there. Let us know. Add us. Talk to us. We like you guys.
I'm pretty sure it is. I checked earlier. Well, I guess it was yesterday. I checked.
I think you're much more on top of stuff than I am.
Yeah, the feed was up, so you should be able to find us over there at DynastyLeagueFootball.com under their podcasts. In addition to all the other places where you've already found us, or if you haven't yet, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, subscribe to both. Make us look.
Yeah, definitely subscribe to the DLF Family Podcast feed. You'll get all of their shows.
Honestly, still geeking out about it a little bit.
Yeah, same here, man. It's quite a humbling thing, and really excited to be a part of that group over there for sure.
All right. Well, now that we've sort of humble bragged, it's not really humble bragging if we just straight up told everybody. All right. Well, now that we bragged a little bit,
it's brag bragging.
Hey, we are straightforward with all you people. That's you can at least give us that.
Sorry.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to session 31 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. We are done. Was it just week 7? I don't even know anymore, man. What week are we on?
Week 8. Week 8. We're halfway through.
Time's going by too fast.
Sitting here watching the worst Monday night game ever. So, we're not missing anything at all.
I need that, man. Every single one of my games comes down to the Patriots not scoring points. So go Bills, go.
Yeah, I don't think it's looking too good for you right now, bud.
All right. Well, let's get on to something that people could actually listen to. So, all right. So here's the actual true story of how we got Eitan on as our guest. He DMs me. He's like, "Hey, can I be on your pod?" And I said, "Sure." And now he's on. So, hey, if you want to be on a podcast, just, ask.
And now I'm famous. So, it worked out. Man.
Yeah, there you go.
He's the Wonder Kid. So I'm like, why would I not have the Wonder Kid on my show? So why don't you tell all these fine people who you are, what you do, where they can find your stuff?
All right. So again, my name is Eitan Mosia. You can find me on Twitter at FF_WonderKid. And I am just a writer, fantasy writer. I write for FFD260 currently right now. I'm also writing for Fantrax HQ and really kind of writing for anyone that will have me at this point. I started playing Dynasty years and years and years ago, back in high school. 2004 was, I believe, my first year playing fantasy football, and then I kind of came into the Dynasty space in 2014, and it's been quite a ride.
Man, look at that. I don't even have to host with this guy. He's going through it on his own. I didn't even have to ask the question.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Wonder Kid indeed. All right, so you've been playing fantasy football for a while, Dynasty for a decent amount of years. That's good. So I feel like maybe we can trust you. Not sure just yet.
No, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, well, after hearing my horrid trade, you might not want to talk to me anymore. So,
and that'll make us want to talk to you even more. So, but first, let's butter people up. What do you think the best trade you've pulled off?
best trade I pulled off was definitely my complete steal of Tyreek Hill. And this was last season. This was kind of before Tyreek Hill was a consistent type of player. I mean, everybody kind of thought he was a boom or bust option. His rookie season, when he was splitting time at running back and wide receiver, the following season, he was the full-time wide receiver, and he was going to be the wide receiver one for Kansas City. And again, people weren't really sold because people didn't really think that he was a true wide receiver. They just thought he was a running back that they kind of split out. And yeah, they didn't really know what to think of Tyreek Hill. And his box scores kind of lent itself to that line of thinking. In the first few weeks, the first half of last season, he would have just boom or bust games. He'd have 5 points in one game, and then he'd have 20 points in the next game and 5 points in the game after that. And as a wide receiver one, that's not really what you would expect from that type of position. Now, what I saw in Tyreek Hill, and the reason that I went after him is because I saw a wide receiver that wasn't necessarily he wasn't necessarily a prototypical deep threat. You know, he wasn't a Brandon Cooks. He wasn't those guys that you really just assume are only going to score on those long touchdown bombs. What I saw was a guy who was excellent tracking the ball, and a guy who was really good at contested catches, which for his size is something that most don't expect. And so I offered I think my second through fourth round pick. We only have four picks in that league, as well as I actually offered a few players off of my team. Eventually, the guy ended up wanting Marcus Mariota, so I gave him a second and Marcus Mariota, and it was immediately rejected. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. You know, I didn't really think that was going to work anyway, so I'll wait, kind of twiddle my thumbs here. And I went until the trade deadline, and until that point, that league was really trade-averse. Nobody really wanted to make any deals. So the guy got frustrated. I know. It was horrible.
Boo that league.
Absolutely horrible. This is why I need to get into one of the Trade Axe leagues next year. I mean, this was crap. Anyway, the league was the league was really trade averse, and nobody would deal with this guy. I mean, he had Tyreek Hill on his trade bait for most of the season. And so finally, the trade deadline came, and he offered me the same deal, which was the second round pick. It was 201. My team was horrible at the time, so it was basically a late first. And Marcus Mariota for Tyreek Hill. And now that that is the best deal I've ever made in my entire life, and I kind of don't even know where to go with this. I feel like I stole from another human being, and it kind of hurts my soul at this point. But hey.
Hey, just awesome. as long as you like say your Hail Marys or whatever it is, you're forgiven, right?
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So that's awesome. That clearly worked out well for you. So come on, hit us with the embarrassing stuff.
So my first year playing Dynasty, actually, I think this was my second. So it all jumbles together at this point, but a few years ago, I thought I was a receiver away. I wasn't, you know, the narrator in the background can definitely tell you that at this point. I wasn't, but I thought I was one wide receiver away. And Jordan Matthews was a young wide receiver on the Eagles, tied to Carson Wentz. You know, I saw all the roses, and I was like, okay, well, you know, this is definitely going to go well. I can potentially get him for I didn't know that this would be the 104 at the time, but first round pick, and you know, it would be just as good as any other person that I'd be able to get in the draft that year. So I gave him the 104, and it was actually a few peripheral pieces on top of that for Jordan Matthews, and I never got a double digit game out of Jordan Matthews after that. Not a single one. We all know what happened with the Buffalo Bills debacle. The following season and in this season, I mean, he's less than irrelevant. So it didn't really go too well for me. I ended up actually – what hurts the most is I ended up actually trading him straight up for Christian McCaffrey, because that's the guy that was drafted at 104 that year. So I every time I see that guy's roster, a little tear drops down my eye just a little bit.
I'm welling up a little bit thinking about that.
Understandable.
All right. Well, now that we know your goods and your bads, we've seen your dirty laundry. What are the guiding principles you take with you whenever you're offering or reviewing a trade?
Guiding principles. See, now this was an interesting question for me to answer, because I don't necessarily have a cookie cutter approach of how I deal with trades. I really try to get to know the people in my league and kind of figure out what makes them tick. But if there's one, or in this case, two things that I really try to do in each situation, it's number one, create a plan for how this helps the team and to vocalize it. In my conversations with other teams, I mean, I won't BS them. I will lay out how this helps my team and why this helps my team, and I will do the same for them. And oftentimes they, you know, don't believe me, but then they'll actually think on it and realize that it actually makes sense. And most of the trades that I end up doing, except for the Tyreek Hill trade, I will admit that one, most of the trades that I end up doing actually benefit the other party just as much as they benefit me. So making relatively even trades, I think, is something that helps, because that also builds up some trust for future negotiations. And then my second point would be also don't BS negotiations. Come in fair and hold firm. Oftentimes people come in low, and that just pisses the other owner off, and that really gets them to not really want to deal with you in the future. But if you can give them a solid offer the first time, and if they immediately balk and reject that offer, that's fine. What I find is usually over time, after thinking it over, they'll come back to me with a similar offer, and I'm then able to get the deal done at that point.
Hey, man, you said you don't really have anything you go into every single time, but those are three mainstays of the Trade Addicts podcast: communication, relationships, and don't be a jerk.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So there you go, man. Well, all right. I like you enough to keep you on.
Yeah, same here. No, definitely feeling it now. Yep.
All right, I passed the test. That's good.
You passed the test for now. We'll see what happens after each segment. We'll see if we'll let you keep going.
Yeah, Russ is always trying to kick people off of here. I don't know what the deal is with that, but
I don't know. I feel like I need to build a reputation about something. I don't know. All right. Well, nice to meet you. Let's get on to the news and notes.
Oh, my bad. Today's news.
Ooh, today's news.
That was kind of bad. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're not going to do the today's thing.
It was nice, though. I liked it. It was a little different. You tried.
I'm off my game today.
Yeah, so you're drinking water instead of beer. That's
probably why.
Ugh. Oh, that'll do it.
Get your head in the right space, buddy.
All right.
Down some tequila just to catch you up. Oh, man, I would love to see you on some tequila. All right, to end this sidetrack. All right, first of all, it's old news by now, but Will Fuller tore his ACL.
Oh,
that's a shame. I mean, like, yeah, I know that
sad face emoji.
I mean, to be fair, I have zero shares, so this doesn't really hurt me in a fantasy sense, but he was fun to watch. It was all right. Let's not dwell. What are the fantasy impacts of all of this? Eton, what are you doing with anyone on the Texans just because of this news?
All right, so one thing that I do like to do is target concentrated offenses. What I mean by that is offenses with no clear RB that can catch passes that is really a threat for targets, no clear tight end that's a threat for targets, and the Texans were one of those offenses. One of the reasons why Will Fuller was so effective in the first place is because it was essentially just him and Hopkins catching all the balls from Deshaun Watson in that offense. Now with him going down, Kiki Kuti currently on the shelf, possibly him returning in the next contest, we might see a little bit more of a spread in that offense. We already saw it, some passes to the tight end that weren't necessarily going to the tight end right after he got hurt. So I can see that really starting to or really turn into an offense with, you know, a few extra targets that you wouldn't necessarily have planned for at the beginning of the year. I just really think, if anything, that this definitely affects, it's just the fact that we're going to see tons and tons and tons and tons of targets for Hopkins. And it's just, he could be wide receiver one all over again. I mean, I like Adam Thielen too, but Hopkins definitely has the inside track to wide receiver one all over again with this Fuller injury.
Yeah, man. I was listening to the Dynasty Happy Hour pod earlier today, and Doug brought up the idea of the Buccaneers. That's what team Deshaun Jackson plays for. Deshaun Jackson getting traded to the Texans after the Fuller injury. And I, like, on the spot, started drooling thinking of all of the Deshaun Jackson shares, especially the one that Brian traded to me. How beautiful. Like, that's a perfect fit, like, with Fuller out. And, you know, I guess even it'll be better when Kiki comes back, because he'll take those short underneath routes, and then Deshaun just runs really far.
And the Texans would be able to get out of that contract at the end of the year, too, without any.
Oh, yeah, because he's pretty much a drop.
There's, like, no dead money. Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree, though. In the short term, I think if they don't make a move like that for a guy like that, I think Hopkins is going to get just fed the ball constantly. He's going to be fed further down the field, too, I think. So, I mean, Will Fuller was kind of their, you know, their deep guy. That's where he did the majority of his damage, and I think that Hopkins will run a few more of those routes moving forward. I mean, the guy can do everything on the football field as a wide receiver. So, but yeah, no, I like that. I think that's probably likely to happen. The other guy I think that could potentially get some work is Lamar Miller. I mean, we kind of saw that in the last game too.
Been looking good too.
In addition to the touchdown passes of the tight ends, Lamar had his best game of the season so far. So they may try to run the ball a little bit more, you know. But yeah, it's a shame. I mean, Fuller was having he's had a pretty good connection with Watson since Watson's been there. So that's a shame to see that happen. He was having a huge game that night too when he went down Thursday night. So.
The question for the rebuilders out there, are you scared off by this other injury that Will Fuller adds to his long, long list of injuries? Or do you think he's a good buy right now for next year?
You know, yes. And the reason that I say yes is because this is an ongoing thing with Will Fuller. For most people in this circumstance, if you tear your ACL, okay. I mean, it's something that happens to football players often, and they come back and they're just fine. But Will Fuller is one of those guys that always finds himself on the shelf, always finds himself nicked up. And I think some of the hamstring injuries that we're seeing from guys like Dalvin Cook this year are a direct result of overcompensating for coming back after tearing an ACL. So I do think it's going to be some time before we see Will Fuller back to 100%. Even if he comes back at the beginning of next year, I think it's going to be until about this time next season that we kind of see him back at maximum. And for that reason, I'm not completely sold on really breaking the bank for him. Plus, you have the added, I guess, not benefit, anti-benefit. I don't know what I'm even saying right now, but you have the added danger of overpaying for a guy that you probably shouldn't be overpaying for in the first place, just because the last thing everybody saw from him was him going out on an amazing game. And he had a few of those at the beginning of the season. So I think you really need to be careful buying Will Fuller at this time, unless you can get him for, you know, extras on your team. No real starters, but a few guys that you have on your bench that might be exciting that you're not necessarily completely sold on. That might be who I tried to trade for a guy like Will Fuller right now.
Awesome. I mean, yeah, I kind of agree. I think I know I have zero shares of Will Fuller across my leagues. I think if I did and someone came at me with a late first, he'd be gone. If he came at me, well, obviously valuation. Or if they even came at me like an early second, a guy I could use, I honestly think I'd be selling Fuller. I am terrified at this point, because you brought up the amazing point that I was going to bring up also, because I bring up amazing points. It's what I do to this show. Compensation hamstring injuries are huge. And we see that going with Dalvin. And it's long since documented that it's just, you know, you're afraid to put so much on one leg. You sort of run a little differently. And that leads to hamstring issues. And since Fuller has those all the time on his own, now having another cause to cause those hamstring injuries just sort of makes it all the worse. I'm kind of all out. Or speaking of all out, most of the Cleveland Browns coaching staff is all out. And that's how you transition into the next segment, guys.
Yeah, well there done.
Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley were both fired, and for some reason, Greg Williams kept his job and is now the interim head coach. Now, I've been saying ever since Todd Haley got hired, might as well just call him interim head coach Todd Haley, but apparently he's such a jerk that they had to get rid of him also. At least that's what the reports are. I don't actually know firsthand. So I'm going to spoil alert a little ahead. My keep for our buy, keeps, and trades is everyone on the Browns. I have a feeling people are either A, going to panic, or B, try and take advantage of people panicking. These Browns players are good. That offense could only get great next year when they hire some college coach with a nice, actual, high-flying, wonderful offense with Ma Baker. So don't panic. I don't know if I'm going on my way to buy people, but if there is someone panicking, I would buy everyone if they're going to sell me low. So Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley fired, Greg Williams biding his time until hopefully he's fired at the end of the season also. Anyone have anything spectacular to add to this?
No, not really. I mean, I'm in complete agreement with you. I just think if there's one guy that maybe you should be breaking the bank for right now, I would just say it's Njoku. There's no wide receiver two of any, you know, that you can really rely on in that offense. So I think in an ideal situation, Njoku is that guy. And I really don't see them spending extra draft capital on acquiring another wide receiver. Having, you know, Jarvis Landry tied to a long contract, having Antonio Callaway already, having Duke Johnson, who might as well be a wide receiver in that offense. So, I mean, if they're smart, again, this is giving the Browns a lot of credit, so maybe I'm going a little bit too far. But if they're smart, you would assume that that you can see a lot of targets going Njoku's way in an offense that actually runs correctly.
He's also probably also a little easier to buy after that bagel he just threw up this week.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that hurt my feelings and my fantasy scores. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we could talk about the Browns for ages, but who wants to listen to people talking about the Browns for ages? So this next one is another one that hurts me personally on the fantasy bench, because Jameis Winston got benched. And I have a couple of shares of him, and that makes me sad. Because, well, he's not the greatest quarterback in the real world. He's always a pretty good fantasy quarterback. And it's Fitzmagic time. So somebody tell me how to feel about any of this.
Gosh, he was so bad on Sunday.
So bad. Like, I feel like I could have seen the defenders standing in front of my face, unlike he did.
I just don't understand how you overthrow a guy as fast as Deshaun Jackson as often as you do it. Like, I don't know how that's physically possible.
Well, chances are you can't see where he's running when you close your eyes to throw it. So,
oh, man.
But yeah, I don't know what the hell he was doing, what he was thinking. It's a shame because like you see talent and then it's just like when the head's not there.
So I was thinking about this when we're discussing Winston too. You know, I've said a lot of times that I think Winston and Marcus Mariota, their careers kind of are mirroring each other in certain ways, just in terms of their statistics and different things. If those two could like combine what they're good at and get rid of what they're bad at. Cause like Mariota, like, talk
has
about
nothing to get rid of. I know.
Well,
he's awesome.
Tell the guy, but you know, like not losing the game, right? I mean, he plays a little bit more conservatively, I think, than Winston, obviously, and most quarterbacks, I think. You know, if Winston could adopt some of that, and then you put some of Jameis's stuff with Marcus, I don't know. That's what I was thinking about when we were discussing that a minute ago. So.
Musings of a madman, everybody.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
All right. So like I said, moving on. Learn your role, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right. So now that the news is over with, it is time for us to make amends. Well, Brian drinks and he's not going to make the noise. Say the thing.
Make amends.
There it is. All right, I'm going to go first, even though I always say that we're nice and we let our guests go first. I'm going to go first on this one because I have said that I would never believe in Adrian Peterson, even for the rest of this season. I now believe in Adrian Peterson for the rest of this season. I know some of it has to do with the offensive line, which is awesome, which maybe we didn't know or remember because they were hurt all of last year in Washington, But they have a very good offensive line for at least for running. I don't necessarily know for pass blocking. And Adrian Peterson looks good. I think he's caught the ball more now than he ever has in his entire Minnesota career. Making that up, don't check. But yeah, he's consistent fantasy points every single week. He looks good. He has, you know, a little jump in his step. And I led you astray when I said don't trust him. So I'm sorry, everybody. All right. I'm ready to move on. Eitan, you're up.
I am sorry for Keelan Cole. I mean, I'm not sorry. Blake Bortles is sorry, but I'll take it for him. I was of the opinion that both Keelan Cole and Cooper Kupp were going to be top 15 receivers this year, and I think I have
that right.
Cooper. But Keelan has just been a major disappointment, and the reason for it is, I mean, you don't have to look any farther than the quarterback. There's just no consistency in that offense when it comes to who gets targets.
The opposite of that concentrated offense you were looking
for. Exactly. One day it's Cole, one day it's Westbrook, the next day it's Moncrief, who I didn't even know was still a thing. But
right.
And Keelan Cole is just not getting the target share that I thought that he was guaranteed after the Marquise Lee injury.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how this works moving forward, but I will say this. What's happening in Jacksonville right now was not the plan.
It was not
the plan at all to ever have Blake Bortles be a guy that has to go out and throw 30, 40 passes a game. That wasn't what they wanted to do in the first place. That's why they drafted, you know, you can say what you want about drafting an RB high, but that's why they drafted Leonard Fournette, so that they didn't have to put themselves in that situation. So I don't know if we're seeing what we'll see moving forward from Jacksonville right now. So I'll leave out some hope there, but I mean, it's definitely not looking good for that top 15 prediction, that top 50 prediction, maybe not even
that you need a little hope for still too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was pretty into Keelan Cole at the beginning of the year, but quickly you saw that Bortles did not care who he was throwing the ball to. That's a lie. He cares, but it's game by game. Like every game, one dude gets like 12 targets, and we just need, like, I'll text him before next game to find out who it's going to be. I'll let you guys know for you listeners. That'll be like a Patreon or something. Listen to our show, give me a dollar, I'll text Blake Bortles, and we'll find out who he's going to throw to. Because I got that hookup. No, I don't. Brian, start talking so I can stop.
Yeah, so my make amends is Tyler Boyd of the Cincinnati Bengals. This one's interesting. I actually watched this kid in high school. He played at a local high school in the Pittsburgh area, and I didn't watch him live, but I knew who he was. And then he went to Pittsburgh, which obviously, you know, I was living down there at the time. So
not as good as Penn State for you, but.
Yeah, so. Definitely not as good. They're like an arch rival. So, yeah, no, not good at all. But Boyd was a superstar at that school. Yeah. He was a very good player. You know, and then he came into the NFL. He wasn't terrible his rookie season. I mean, he had 54 catches for a little over 600 yards that year. So
didn't even seem like that much. So I guess that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, so not bad. And then last year, you know, he was dinged up. He only played in 10 games. So, but I did not see this coming. I mean, the dude's on pace for almost 1300 yards, 100 catches, 1300 yards. So, and double digit touchdowns, which is insane, especially considering how productive AJ Green still is.
Mm-hmm.
He's also on pace for above those numbers. So, both of these guys are really having a heck of a year. AJ we've seen before, but Tyler Boyd is the wide receiver too in that offense. You know, I didn't see him coming on like this. He had another huge game this past weekend, 9 catches for 138 and a touchdown. So Boyd's been good. He's been good, and he's been fairly consistent for the most part. So he's a guy that, you know, I think I'm at this point, I'm sorry that I kind of steered people maybe in the other direction. I never hated him, but I just didn't see this coming at all. So apologies. And yeah, if you have him, way to go.
Yeah, right. I can remember him coming into the league before the draft. The big knock on him was that he was purely volume based. He was like the definition of a workhorse wide receiver, if there is even such a thing. And apparently there's the volume to sustain that a bit in this Cincinnati offense now, which is awesome because good Andy Dalton means good AJ Green, which means room for running backs, which means good Joe Mixon. So I'm happy about all of that. So I'm glad you were wrong on this one. I mean, so was I, to be fair.
I was right there with you guys. I
was about to say, you were about to jump in and be like, nah, man, I had that all along. But no, good. I'm glad you have it in you to admit that you were wrong with the rest of us.
No, I mean, I'm a believer in analytics and looking at the actual looking at production metrics, but actually also looking at the physicality of the players that are coming in. And Tyler Boyd is bog average on pretty much every metric imaginable. And I don't even think he had a great college dominator. I'll have to look at that again. But it wasn't a guy that really kind of really gave you any of the good feels coming in. And his first two seasons, we kind of saw what we thought we all expected from Tyler Boyd, which was just underwhelming performance after underwhelming performance. And then they drafted John Ross, and I, of course, being analytically focused, looked at John Ross's metrics and was like, okay, this guy's super fast. He's, you know, gonna step into that wide receiver two role. And where I made my mistake is I trusted rational thinking from Marvin Lewis. And we all know that for that reason, and for that reason alone, I deserve everything I got about being as wrong as I was about a guy like Tyler Boyd. But I mean, I do a dynasty composite ranking. I'll show you guys after this. But Tyler Boyd, in my opinion, is one of the best dynasty assets you could have right now. I actually have him, I think, ranked in my top 15 receivers. And the reason
make some traded offers. Hold on.
That's awesome, though. I mean, that's cool,
man.
Absolutely. That's why deals get done, because people, you know, that it's that you said before you came on today, too. You said, I kind of think against the grain. And that provides opportunity for deals to get done.
Absolutely.
So we love that stuff on this show.
But the reason I do feel that way is I was going back to my concentrated offenses point. I mean, obviously, Joe Mixon is a little bit better than the average running back when it comes to being able to catch passes. But no tight end on that team can stay healthy. And they haven't had one stay healthy for the longest time. And as long as that's the case, it's going to be AJ Green. It's going to be Joe Mixon. And Tyler Boyd is going to be that, you know, third wheel that seems to always get fed. So as long as he can continue getting this volume, and again, they just spent a high draft pick on John Ross, so I can't see them investing more in the wide receiver room in that offense. As long as he continues to get that volume, I mean, he's a stud.
Yeah, I mean, we now agree, so rock on. All right, like so while you're talking, Brian, we're going into the buys, trades, and keeps. Keep, trade, buy. So, I wrote that down in the wrong order. That was really confusing.
So this is the main event.
All right. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event.
The main event.
So our main event, as usual, is keep, trade, buy, which for some reason I wrote buy, trade, keep on the show sheet and it confused the hell out of me because I'm that easily confused, everybody. All right. So guest goes first. Start with your buys.
My number one and two buys are Kenny Golladay and Darius Geis. Kenny Golladay is my number one buy because he is already effectively the wide receiver two in that offense. He plays in two wide receiver sets instead of Golden Tate. And next year, they're not going to have Golden Tate because Golden Tate's going to be a free agent next year, and they've already put feelers out to try to get him traded, which basically tells me they have no intention of re-signing him. So again, when it comes to volume, Detroit Lions are an offense that always passes a hell of a lot, and Kenny Golladay is just going to be on the receiving end of a lot of those passes. The reason that I I think Darius Geis is another great buy, is simply because of everything that you said about Adrian Peterson and that offensive line in Washington. I want to buy everything that runs behind that offensive line in Washington, especially while Alex Smith is the quarterback, because I know he's not going to be the one to put up points in that offense. So Darius Geis is looking to me just like a great running back behind a great line. And if he can get over his injury issues, which, you know, he had in college as well, there's something in the LSU water that tends to get running backs injured, but if he can get over that, they're definitely going to be two solid pieces to your dynasty team moving forward.
Yeah, well, we know that Brian agrees with your Kenny Golladay take because he bought Kenny Golladay from me last week.
Yep.
And real quick question, are you worried about Kenny Golladay getting three targets over the past two games?
Oh, I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it.
Oh, you got your buy window? That's what it is? All right, so, okay, let's play our game. What do you think it would take to buy Kenny Golladay off your average dynasty owner right now? Wow. All right, let's say I'm offering you I have to offer you, let's say, mid-first. Do you think that gets it done?
I mean, for me specifically, no, but that's just because I feel this way about Kenny Golladay. For the average dynasty owner that sees, you know, three catches over, what, three games or whatever it was, that's probably more than enough.
Really? All right, Brian, you were shaking your head. No. What do you think it takes to buy Kenny Golladay right now?
Well, I'm obviously a big fan of his as well. I would think it would take, if it was just the first alone, I think it would take
top three.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Just because, I mean, you know, this class is more of a wide receiver class than anything. I mean, the top couple picks are most likely going to be wide receivers. So, you know, I just don't, I don't know that. I mean, I probably wouldn't give the 101 because I think Harry's probably going to be there. and I like him a lot. I think he's a really talented kid. So, and the kid out of NC State too, Harmon, is that?
Kelvin Harmon.
Yeah, Kelvin Harmon. So both of those guys, you know, and then you got the two Ole Miss guys too, Brown and Metcalf. But I can't see, I mean, we really don't know what we're going to get out of them. We already know that Golladay can produce at the NFL level. So for me, I mean, I would think, I mean, if I owned Golladay, I would need to make sure I was getting my choice of those guys, I think. Just because, again, there's just an uncertainty there versus, you know, and maybe that changes if, you know, if they go to a perfect situation where they're going to be a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two that's opposite a really strong one, kind of like Calvin Ridley's situation in Atlanta. You know, so if that's the case, then I'd want one of those kids. But I don't, you know, Golladay for me, a mid first, I would probably want something a little bit on top of that. Maybe another later pick or something, a third that was, you know, earlier, or a late second, something like that. That's just me, though. I mean,
yeah, no, I mean, I think that's kind of consensus, is to say the wrong word, because it's not like I know what everyone's really thinking, but I think that sounds about right. But in bad news, James White just scored a touchdown, so I am up by 1.3 points in Trade Addicts 2, and there is 10 minutes left, and he has James White and Josh Gordon. So I think we could start playing taps for me right now. I think it's over. Because I know all you people care about my fantasy football league. All right, so those are your buys. We both completely agree with them. Let's hit up your tradeaways.
So I am trading Mitchell Trubisky and Russell Wilson. And I know in a one quarterback league, that's probably a hard thing to do. But as you guys saw, somehow people buy quarterbacks for me. I'm not sure why, but hopefully they continue to do so. The reason I'm trading Mitchell Trubisky and Russell Wilson is because we're seeing out of Russell Wilson specifically what we saw at Deshaun Watson last season, and that is a completely unsustainable TD rate. I mean, Russell Wilson is throwing 25 passes a game and still somehow seems to make it out of every contest with three or four touchdowns, which is just unheard of. That's a really run-heavy offense that we're seeing Pete Carroll kind of restart there. And, I mean, I just don't see Russell Wilson able to continue this touchdown rate that he's going at right now. He's also not running as much as he was in previous seasons. So I'm not sure if I can really even rely on him as a week-in, week-out QB1 moving forward. Now, that said, everyone is going to, you know, come back and say, well, he's a guy that tends to improve later in the season. I don't necessarily buy it. I kind of see things, or I kind of take things as I see them, and this is what I'm going to see from this offense moving forward. Mitchell Trubisky. I don't know the difference between Mitchell Trubisky and Blake Bortles, other than the fact that
wow, that caught me off guard, man.
But I'm serious. I mean, he's hilariously inaccurate. He doesn't necessarily get the ball out on time. We've seen how he plays off schedule out of those, you know, first 10, 20 plays that Matt Nagy sets up for that offense at the beginning of the game. He is just in a great offense with great schemes that actually get his receivers open on screen passes that are really easy ways for him to accumulate fantasy points. That and he runs. But Blake Bortles does the same thing. I mean, essentially, to me, they're the same type of guy. And long-term, I don't see that as being success unless we just continue to see great game plan after great game plan. Cannot talk today. After great game plan over and over like we're seeing from Matt Nagy this year.
Well, it's anything's better than Doug Marrone, I think, now that Jeff Fisher and whatever the hell his name is are out of the league. Other guy. Titans guy. What's his name?
Oh, Mike Mularkey.
There you go. They were both terrible. Now that they're gone, I mean, I'm pretty sure all we're left with to get rid of is Doug Marrone, and we're fine. All right, so I completely disagree with both of those, and I like you a little less because you said both of those things.
Perfect. That's what I was going for.
Everybody's trade away is to piss me off, by the way. Like twice, Eric Ebron has been a trade away just to try and get a rise out of me, and it worked both times. Now he's talking about that's my quarterback, Russell Wilson and the Truth Biscuits. All right, so your bye was Kenny Golladay, so I'm kind of curious how your keep is Marvin Jones. Are we talking, because I know you said that Golladay was the second wide receiver in the two receiver sets, which means Jones is still out there. And of course, Jones just caught two touchdowns.
Contracts. Marvin Jones is going to be on the team next year. He's going to start in two wide receiver sets. And he's essentially going to be in the same role that he is now, except with the added bonus of not having to fight with targets with Golden Tate. And we all know that offense doesn't necessarily use TEs. They don't use tight ends as much as, you know, most other offenses in the NFL. So you're still going to have a high volume of targets going Marvin Jones's way next season. And I messed up many times in many dynasty leagues by fearing the stack, fearing the wide receiver stack. This season, I traded away Brandon Cooks because I had Cooper Kupp and I regretted it almost immediately.
That one offense, that is the offense you could have all three wide receivers and be fine.
Exactly. And I'm starting to realize that with the rise of the just huge number of pass attempts in the league, lots of different people can be viable in the same offense. And I think Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay tied to Matthew Stafford, who's going to be there for a while, is a situation that I want every part of.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I'll allow it. All right. All right. And your next guy is Keenan Allen. I have to assume that's obvious. I mean, Keenan's awesome. This is a pro Keenan podcast.
As it should be.
Right. So unless you have anything crazy to throw at us. What was that face, Brian?
I just about knocked my mic off the stand. That would have been pretty.
Professionalism at its best, folks.
You know.
So keep Keenan Allen because sooner or later he's going to find the end zone and then he'll get the ceiling that he had last year and stop complaining that a dude's only giving you 17 points a week. Seriously, stop complaining.
All right.
All right, Brian, assuming your mic's still in good standings and you're not fighting it for any reason, why don't you give us your guys?
Yeah, so my buys are Dalvin Cook, first and foremost. And mainly just because his value seems to have absolutely tanked, you know, and this offense, you know, I mean, they didn't last night, but they have been firing on all cylinders. Both wide receivers are productive. Lat Murray has been freaking productive in that backfield. You know, he has a hamstring injury. Yeah, he had the knee last year. You know, but as we talked about earlier in the show, the compensation aspect of that is big. And I think as he gets himself in shape, I think, you know, the Dalvin Cook that everybody kind of expected coming into this season, I think will come out. So I'm buying Cook if there's an opportunity in my leagues to get him for a little bit less than, you know, what you might have had to pay 4 or 5 weeks ago. I think I'm definitely doing that. And then my second guy is Traquan Smith in New Orleans, and especially after the last 2 weeks. So he had the huge game a couple of weeks ago where he had over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against Washington. And then the last 2 games, he's had the same amount of catches in those games, 3 catches, but for 44 and 18 and no touchdowns. So I've liked what I've seen out of this kid, too. He's clearly the number two wide receiver there now, or he has been over the last 3 weeks. You know, obviously, Michael Thomas is there, so he's going to get opportunities against a team's number two corner. He's not going to be facing their top corners. And I think he's pretty talented. And with Drew Brees throwing the ball, especially in the short term, I mean, long term, we'll see. But in the short term, this is a guy that I'm trying to buy now and hoping that he develops into that steady number two receiver in that offense. So those are my buys. Right. What do you guys think about those?
Traquan's a pretty hot name right now. What do you think it takes to get him? Towards the end of draft season, he was making his way into the end of the second, which means I don't think a 2019 second is going to get him anymore. Are you feeling okay sending a late first for Traquan?
I am. Yeah. I mean, I tried to buy him. I've tried to buy him like over the last 2 weeks, and he's a second isn't getting it done. So, I mean, that's what I've been offering, and it's not getting it done. So,
what's your feelings on him?
I recently sold Traquan Smith.
And you really just did not bring your A game to this one. You're stumbling all over the place. I think you need to compose yourself.
And, you know what? This is why it got me flustered. I actually got Allen Robinson offered to me for Traquan Smith, so I didn't know how to do it. I kind of just messed up.
You got to take that.
That would be a snap for me.
I don't know if I think Traquan is going to be what we would expect him to be long term, because he kind of, I mean, if you compare how Michael Thomas came into that offense and how Traquan Smith's coming to that offense, it's similar. They're actually similar receivers. They're big bodied receivers. They're kind of more big slot receivers than anything. My issue is this, that offense, as much as we want it to be pass happy Saints, New Orleans offense, it just isn't anymore. And with that, I mean, one of the top graded run blocking O-lines, with Alvin Kamara and Ingram, obviously they won't have Ingram next season, but they're definitely trying to run the rock more. And I think that's just going to be more and more opportunity for that team's running backs. And they're going to take more and more off of Drew Brees' plate until they're absolutely forced to in pressure situations like the playoffs, just like we saw last season. I actually wrote a piece on this earlier this year for FF Dynasty 260. So as much as I like Traquan as a player and I like his landing spot, I would like it a lot better if he was the one in that offense, because I think the one is going to be the only person, the only wide receiver getting consistent targets in that offense moving forward. I think everyone else is kind of out on the periphery, and, you know, one game they'll blow up, the next game they'll have no targets, and we've seen that. So we'll kind of see how it goes with Traquan.
Yeah, that's a great point, because everyone's super excited, like, oh, Ted Ginn's out of the way, so now Traquan could get his targets. I mean, no one was really comfortably starting Ted Ginn, even when he was putting up fantasy points. So while I do agree with both of you a little bit, I love Traquan the player, I think if Brees does start throwing the ball a bit more, even though he has that awesome running game, I think it can work out well. But given the way things are going, I mean, I would probably still buy Traquan now just because he'll just be cheap.
So, Eitan, do you like him better in best ball formats?
Absolutely. In a best ball format, he's definitely a guy I would want because he can go off, like we saw, for, you know, 150 yards and two touchdowns any given point in time. He's a good receiver. He's a really good receiver. Drew Brees is a good quarterback, especially when you consider his deep ball acumen, even though he doesn't have the strongest arm, weirdly enough. But in terms of wanting consistent production week in, week out, again, I mean, my trade for Allen Robinson basically says everything I feel about Traquan. I don't think Allen Robinson's really going to have those boom weeks, but I think I can get, you know, six catches, 70 yards out of A-Rob pretty much week in, week out, and I'm not sure I can get that from Traquan Smith.
More consistency, sure.
All right. That's a lot of good Traquan talk because I think like he is a very popular topic right now. So, hey, we give the people what they want. So speaking of giving the people what they want, I don't know how that works with Rob Gronkowski, but I used it anyway. So go tell us your trade away is Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, my trade away is Gronk. I love Gronk. I'm one of the biggest Gronk fans around. His personality is just ridiculous, and he's such a meathead, and I love it. but I feel like the Gronk, I mean, he's been injured in the past. I'm not, you know, obviously he's dealt with the forearm, he's dealt with knees, he's dealt with ankles, he's been hurt a lot. But this season, it just seems like he's banged up again. He's only been targeted twice in the red zone.
Yeah, that's so
seven
weird.
Games. Twice in the red zone. I mean, that's just insane. And especially when you consider the fact that, you know, until week five, they didn't have a wide receiver on that team that was, you know, so, I mean, I feel like Gronk is quickly going to take a turn. I mean, he's still productive when he's out there and when he gets opportunity. It's just that the opportunities aren't quite as present right now. So, you know, they brought Sony in. He's, you know, they're running the ball a little bit more too when he's in there healthy. I just think, I don't know, the lack of red zone usage is just, that's very shocking to me. I did not see that coming at all. And I just think that Gronk, that name, Rob Gronkowski, I mean, he's one of the greatest tight ends that's ever played the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think he's going to be 30 years old. He's banged up all the time. You know, how long's Brady going to play? There's just a lot of questions there too. And I just think that I'd rather cash out and get value for him now, because I think when he hits that cliff, it's going to be, that's exactly what it's going to be, is a cliff. So
what would it take to get him away from you right now? If you had him on, okay, PPR, tight end premium, what do you think it takes to get him away?
Yeah, so in the Trade Addicts leagues, the tight end premiums, I would still want premium value, which is why he may end up dying on some of my rosters.
Mm-hmm. Like, but, are we talking multiple firsts you're still expecting?
I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah, probably, but not.
Two mids, one early, or one early?
I'd say, yeah, probably. I'd even probably do two lates if they were, you know. I mean, I'd rather trade him for 2020 firsts. Because of that class, because I'm really in on that class. But yeah, I mean, I would still want to try to get as much value out of him as I possibly could, or get a player, you know, and I guess on the other side of that, I mean, I'm thinking about trading him away. I guess he's a target if you're competing too, but
if I think believe those red zone targets will show up. Yeah.
Right. But I think I think it could be a short term move because I just, and it's sad because I love Gronk. He's one of my favorites. So I'll miss watching him. I miss watching him dominate games. Unfortunately, the majority of the games that he dominates are against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which absolutely sucks for me. Like literally all it takes is one drive and he catches like four passes for 78 yards and a touchdown and then spikes the shit out of the ball at the end. So, but yeah, I'm a big Gronk fan. I just think he's probably going to hit that cliff pretty hard when he gets there, and I think it's
completely unrelated to football, but like if they make Revenge of the Nerds, can't you see Gronk playing ogre, like slamming down a beer, burping really loudly and screaming nerds?
Yes, I really want him to get into reality TV. I think that I mean, I would 100%. I would probably pay money to watch that.
Oh, that's coming sooner than we all think.
Yes,
that's definitely coming sooner than we all think, like next season sooner than we all think.
Yes.
I mean, I have a 3 and a 5-year-old. I haven't been to the movie theater in a very long time. I will find a place to put my kids to go see some action movie Rob Gronkowski starring in. Crap, I'll bring them with me because they deserve that kind of entertainment. All right.
Yeah, I'm in 100% agreement with you with Rob Gronkowski. I mean, I don't think he's even the only one that's kind of on the downturn of an offense. I mean, I'm watching the Patriots game right now. I've watched all the Patriots games so far this season, and I think Brady might be losing it a bit as well. I mean,
hot take.
This is an easy hot take to make, if it's even called a hot take at this point, because eventually Father Time is going to win no matter what at some point. But I mean, I really do think it's the season. I think if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, I think we've seen the last of Brady. And if we've seen the last of Brady, I think directly tied to him, we've seen the last of Gronk. Just watch Gronkowski run this season. I mean, previous seasons, him and Travis Kelce were almost indistinguishable in how they affected the game. They were able to just separate at a level that just wasn't really what you would expect out of any other tight end. I'm not seeing that from Gronkowski. I'm seeing him a little bit more belabored this season. I'm also seeing him maybe deal with some of the effects of the injuries that he's had over the course of his career. And like you guys were saying with the reality TV, I really do think it's a serious possibility. Rob Gronkowski knows that he has made himself extremely marketable, whether that's playing football, whether that's not playing football. And if he just up in one day decides that he doesn't want to get hurt anymore, I mean, I could see him walking away as early as next season. I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that plays himself into the ground.
Yeah, he seems a little too smart for that. All right, so let's jump now into your last guy, your keep, Mr. Marlon Mack himself.
Yeah, so I was having a hard time kind of coming up with a keep today. And I saw a few things on Twitter about Mack that kind of had me thinking about him a little bit in just terms of, you know, is he a guy I want to acquire? Is he a guy I want to sell if I have him? I just think right now, I mean, I've liked the last 3 weeks for sure. No doubt about it. I mean, each of the 3 weeks, he's had over 89 yards rushing. Two of those games, he was up over 125. Three touchdowns. He's caught five balls in the last three games, and also a receiving touchdown. So since he's come back from the injury, he's looked really, really good in that offense, and he's getting a heavy workload. 12 carries a week he came back for 89 yards. Each of the last 2 weeks, it was 19 and 25 carries. And he's averaging over 5 yards a carry since he's been back. So, actually, he's averaging almost 6 yards a carry since he's been back. So, he's a guy I'm keeping right now because I want to see if he can continue to do this. If he does this a couple more weeks, then I'm probably going to be a Marlon Mack guy, or at least more so, you know, than I have been in the past. But that's why I have him as my keep. I want to see him do this a couple more weeks, see them play maybe a tougher a tough defense, and just see what he can do. But it's looking good right now.
Yeah, he was my buy last week, and I think it was partially to see what, like you just said, to see what he really is. Every week that he scores another 20 fantasy points, he gets a little bit more expensive, and we just added one more to that list. But yeah, I think right now it's too expensive to buy him because of the uncertainty, and I'd be too afraid to sell him because you won't get the price of what he could be. So I'm all on board with just seeing what you got with Marlon Mack. You a Mack guy, Eitan?
I am extremely inflexible. If I was any more flexible, I'd be kicking myself, but I can't actually do that.
We're on video. I'd like to see you cry.
For not actually taking up my friend on his offer of Marlon Mack for my 10th pick overall. I actually balked at it. I thought that was ridiculous, and I feel really, really dumb right now because I wish that I had him, and I would pay way more than that for him right now. Per Football Outsiders, the Indianapolis Colts have the fifth best run-blocking O-line in the NFL right now.
Wow.
They drafted Quentin Nelson in the offseason. There's also another O-lineman that they drafted as well. I forget his name. because he wasn't a top five pick. But they've really invested a lot of resources in not getting Andrew Luck killed, and it's actually had the effect of making that line just a run-blocking menace. Now, strangely enough, and funnily enough, that offensive line is still terrible at pass blocking. They're still
I know those pains.
Yeah, they're still actually ranked the 26th O-line per, again, Football Outsiders for pass blocking. But for run blocking, they're just busting holes wide open. And as long as they can continue to do that, I mean, there's no reason why Mac can't remain productive. My only fear with Mac is probably the fear that everyone has with him, which is, can he stay on the field? He's a guy that's constantly banged up, constantly injured. As a running back, that's not necessarily what I want. You know, I kind of take that for as much as you will, because I did just recently trade for Leonard Fournette. So, you know, I guess I give certain people passes when it comes to injuries and other people not. But there's no reason for him not to remain productive. And I do think that as long as he can stay healthy, he can be one of the next big league-winning running backs for the rest of this season and going into next season.
I wish I bought Marlon Mack. I did not buy any Marlon Mack.
Me too. I'm frustrated because I only have one share across all of my leagues, and I'm in a ton of leagues. So
yeah, I actually don't even know if I have any dynasty shares. I know I grabbed him in all my redrafts. I pretty much scooped him off the wire because he was inevitably dropped at some point. Mm-hmm. All right. So words. Sorry, I'm sitting here staring at this. I'm still up by 1.3, and there's 3 minutes and 55 seconds left, and I can't stop looking at this.
I think you're going to take it. I really do.
I will freak the hell out because Rob has been talking some smack to me.
I need you to lose. I need you to lose in that league. So I'm not actively rooting against you, but
you are actively. If you need me to lose, you are actively rooting against me. I think that's the definition.
It won't pain me if you do. Let's put it that way.
I need the Bills to run this clock out. It's 4th and 2. It's not going to happen. Shit.
I'm sitting pretty 8-0 in my main league, so this is good. I went 2-11 last season, so this is just nice revenge.
Ooh, that's quite a turnaround.
I have no undefeated teams. I have a bunch of 1-loss. This is about to be a 2-loss if they let James White run the ball. Man, bring in Kenyon Barnard. That's why you signed him, right?
Or Cordell Patterson. They were running him early.
Yeah, there you go. You don't need to give James White the ball. All right. Let's actually
get All right, so do you have any buys, trades, or keeps?
I have a few, actually.
You had the Browns. You told us about them. So tell us about your buy.
Oh, look at you taking those hostly duties. I love it. All right. So my buy is going to make Brian a bit of a happy camper. It's Aaron Jones because, I mean, the bye week happens and like now Mike McCarthy's like, hey, maybe I should give Aaron Jones the ball. That boy's good. You know, like, why now? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy it happened. But like, what magically snapped in this guy's brain that's like, maybe I should give the best running back on my team more than 4 carries a game? But it happened.
I'm still pissed, though, because they gave Williams a goal line carry, scored a touchdown.
Dude, take what you can get.
McCarthy is such a...
I mean, maybe now that like the seal is broken on coaches being fired.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I think he's realizing, hey, I have Aaron Rodgers. I probably need to win some games this year or else my ass is gone.
Right.
I mean, I doubt it, but I can't imagine they let him go midseason. It's one of those, he was there to help us win the Super Bowl 83 years ago. We got to show him the respect he deserves. So, yeah, I got nothing. That dude should have been running the ball ever since he got back from suspension. And for some reason, whatever. CPAT's running the ball. Nice.
I was just going to say that.
Right. Wow. Okay. So by Aaron Jones, I think you can probably find some people who are frustrated with him and are willing to sell him high off this game. I would be fine throwing a late first to get me Aaron Jones right now. I see no problem with that. Start with an early second, see if you can get it. But I think that one gets it done. Unless you're a true believer, like the people on this podcast. See, Brian's crying right now. He's wiping his tears away, thinking about Aaron Jones running the ball.
I love Aaron Jones.
I'm doing the same. Again, Pro Football Outsiders, Green Bay is ranked in the top 10 of run blocking. I mean, we've seen how many opportunities they can have at the goal line with Aaron Rodgers at the helm of that offense. I would offer even more than a late first for him, just considering this draft class and knowing that there's not that many, or there aren't that many quality running backs in this draft class. We have David Montgomery, potentially Bryce Love, maybe. And that's about it when it comes to guys that you can really expect to kind of perform in year one. So he's young. I think if you're buying a back, I wouldn't mind spending up to a mid first, maybe even the lower end of a high first for a guy like Aaron Jones, because eventually, like you're all saying, you have to give the better back the ball. And it looks like McCarthy is beginning to do that.
I like it. It's gutsier than I am, but I like it. I'm glad that someone is willing to do it. All right. And I spoiler alerted before, my keeps are the Browns players. I like the same thing. You see what you got before you move anything. I don't think values will change too much in the next game or two to see what they got. And honestly, I mean, I don't think you expected too much out of any of the players the rest of this season anyway. So you might as well see who they bring in, because any new coach will bring hype, which means you'll be able to sell them for more later anyway. So I would not rush to do anything. And especially, I mean, if you're rebuilding, buy away. They're all young. They're all talented people around each other. So yeah, I guess I can get behind that. But overall, stay the course. So those are our keeps, trades, and buys for week 7. Let's get into our trade addicts trades.
Trade addicts, trades.
Trades, trades, trades.
God, we need a soundboard.
No, I love it. This is like the homegrown feel that we've always gone for. We're a podcast of the people. We ain't got that mad podcast money. All right, so Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. First, we've got a Trade Addicts 2. These are two trades that I don't think either of us are part of. It's been a while since we've had that. Trade Addicts 2, T.Y. Hilton for Chris Carson and Marlon Mack. Now, this was before this week's games. So this is actually before Chris Carson went out for 100 yards and before Marlon Mack gave up his, well, didn't give up. He scored his 20-something points, which is proven by the fact that T.Y. Hilton won this poll 75% to 25%. I'm kind of curious to know what it would be if we ran this again today after Hilton caught like one pass in the fourth quarter of this game.
Probably completely reversed.
Yeah, exactly, right? But value-wise, this is probably pretty on. T.Y. Hilton, I mean, it's rough because I love T.Y. T.Y. is a you die. But he has the hardest schedule for the rest of the season for a fantasy wide receiver, which makes me sad because T.Y. till you die. And I mean, I'm a Seahawks fan and still I want no part of that backfield, even though Penny doesn't even seem to be. Does he have pads on anymore? Don't even know. So Chris Carson seems to be running the ball. And, you know, you were talking about the Colts having an amazing run blocking offensive line, but a terrible pass blocking offensive line. And that's the Seahawks. They can block the run. And Chris Carson's good enough to do something with that. So, yeah. And Marlon Mack, if he keeps doing what he's doing, I think even still, these two running backs at their ceiling equals T.Y. Hilton at his ceiling. So I think this is a perfectly even trade.
Nathan Peterman signing, by the way. I just kind of had to get that in.
What happened?
There's a Nathan Peterman signing.
What?
So points for people that started to pass D.
Yeah, I mean, that trade is, in my opinion, a steal. I never really had a high opinion of T.Y. Hilton. I saw him as the exact opposite of what Tyreek Hill was, which is truly a deep ball threat. Just a guy that, if he's open, he'll make the deep ball pass.
Shame.
But he isn't necessarily going for he doesn't make the contested catches. He doesn't necessarily do all the things required to be an all-purpose receiver, in my opinion. And so that's why I was kind of a little bit lower than consensus on T.Y. coming into the season. Now, he proved me wrong with, I think, a week ago or 2 weeks ago. He had a 2-touchdown game. But, I mean, other than that, I feel like we're kind of in a situation where there are a lot of pass catchers in Indianapolis, and that was something that T.Y. has never really experienced. I'm a Mike Evans owner, so I can completely kind of understand, you know, having a guy in an offense with no one else to pass to, and then eventually shifting to an offense with weapons all over the place and seeing the effect on that guy's value. And I think we're seeing it a bit with T.Y. now. I mean, you have Nyheim Hines, you have Hilton. If Rodgers decides to play that game, you have him. Ebron and Doyle. I mean, there's a lot of guys to kind of throw those passes around. So while I agree with you, and I don't know if I would want to invest in any Seattle Seahawks running back at this point because you just don't know what the heck is going on, I think Marlon Mack alone would be enough for me to move T.Y. at this point.
All right, so I'm just going to cut all that out because how dare you on my podcast come in and talk like that about T.Y. Hilton.
Anytime.
No, yeah, that's – I mean, I get it, which makes me sad. I always thought having other targets would help T.Y. a bit because he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that needs to be fed, but apparently he's just super helped. And plus, I'd need my Eric Ebron targets. Come on, Andrew Luck. Why are you giving Ali Cox and – who's the other guy?
Jack Doyle.
No, forget that guy. The other there was even another guy.
Every time you say Jack Doyle, you got to say Jack Doyle rules, like O'Doyle rules from that movie. I don't even know what
Billy.
It's been a while.
Right now,
I'm old and I have a forgetful brain.
No, seriously, before, like, he's in a room with a TV across the room and he had to actually, like, hold his glasses up to actually see the TV. It was very nice making fun of him for it.
Well, it was because I can't fit him underneath my headset, see? Legit reason.
Mm-hmm, because you're old.
Yeah. Well, you're just as old as I am, so you can't say anything.
Did you even talk about this trade yet?
No.
All right, go. Oh, man, 24 seconds and I'm still up by 1.3, guys. They have to be kneeling the ball, right?
Over. Yeah, it's over.
1.3. This is my payback for losing by 0.6 last week.
Yeah, that was
1.3, everybody.
I'm actually really upset because one of the guys that's right behind me in our league, he's 6-2 right now, just got the win again by like 1 point because of everything that happened with Cordell Patterson. I'm really upset right now.
Oh, I don't care. I'm so sorry. I totally care.
I get it. Nobody cares about your fantasy league.
Hey, go check my pinned tweet. I care about your fantasy football team. Just not as much as my own. all right. Awesome. Brian, talk.
Yeah. So, no, same. I feel the same way about this deal. I think, if you pulled them now, it'd probably be flipped, at least the results. I don't know if the percentages would be the same, but I'm fine with it. I think it's a decent deal, whichever side. So no problem with this
one. All right, cool. So to Trade Addicts 3 trade. Man, your like stumbling is rubbing off on me. I blame you because normally I'm just perfect at this.
What?
Brian.
You are.
There you go. That's what I like to hear out of my co-host. All right, Trade Addicts 3 trade. Oh, yeah, we talked about this guy. Rob Gronkowski and Mark Ingram for Jordy Nelson and Travis Kelce. Now, this one was actually split on Twitter, 48% to Gronk, 52% to Kelce, which pretty much means it's even. How are you? Okay, so to me, this means we're paying up from Gronk to get to Kelce. So we are well past the point of Gronk being tight end one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, because Jordy Nelson pretty much has to be kind of a non-factor at this point, unless you're one of those Raiders targets have to go to somewhere, like you want those targets. All right, so how do you feel about this, Eton? Stop watching TV.
Yeah, this is Kelce all the way. Kelce is tied to one of the best quarterbacks in the league, in Pat Mahomes. He's in an offense with a creative play caller. Obviously, you can kind of say the same about Bill Belichick, but I think there's more longevity to Kelce and Kelce's role in that offense just because him and the guy throwing passes to him are so young. There's also a bunch of different targets in that offense to kind of pull defenses away from Kelce. So I really do think that he's going to have a long stay at the top of the TE1 totem pole. Especially with, the crapshoot that is the tight end position at this point. But yeah, I mean, everything we said about Gronk basically describes why I think I would take Kelce in this deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're pretty much all in agreement on this one. I mean, yeah, Kelce. The only thing I could really say is if you do believe that you're kind of buying a little low on Gronk and he'll turn it around for the rest of the season. And Mark Ingram is super usable. I mean, he will give you solid RB2 numbers for the rest of the year, at least. I know he's like 28, 29 and probably moving on after this year. But the way that Sean Payton hated him, I feel like he still has some tread left on the tire. So he'll still be able to contribute to another team. So while I do side with the Kelce side, I agree with Twitter. This is pretty much even to me. Well, how about that? That's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. I'm tired, man. All right. So before I just crawl up on my dining room chair and fall asleep, I don't even go on the table. I crawl up on the chair. Eitan, tell people, remind them who you are, what you do, where they could find you, and where they should listen to you.
Yes, I also do a podcast as well at FF Dynasty 260. Again, you can find me on Twitter at FF_WonderKid. You can find me at FF Dynasty 260. You'll see some of my work, Advanced Sports Logic. You'll also see my weekly start sits column. You actually might want to avoid that one because I'm not very good at that one.
Read it anyway.
At HQ. And that's where you can find all of my work and make fun of my crazy overpay for Leonard Fournette.
We did it too, man. Don't worry. It was a few weeks ago, but we traded Thielen and a second for Leonard Fournette.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Think about it now. It's awful. But like 4 weeks ago, it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
No, I can see that. I mean, I traded two firsts, Jamal Williams and Keelan Cole. So I'm hurting a little bit.
God, I wish we just gave up picks.
we can all suffer together.
Yeah. we'll have another group meeting after this one. All right. Well, once again, our big news, we are now part of the DLF family of podcasts, so you can check us out on that stream. It's been an hour and a half, and I'm still geeking out about it. That hasn't faded away yet.
I don't know that that's going to fade away. That's pretty awesome.
Congrats. Yeah. Congrats, guys. That's huge.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I think that was all. Do you have anything to talk about? Go check out Brian's rankings on DynastyLeagueFootball.com. He does the 2QB and Superflex rankings, and feel free to add him to give him crap about it whenever he's wrong.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, on that note, good night, Brian.
Good night, Outhouse.
Night, Wonder Kid.
Night, guys.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod, and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe and rate and review.